WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to this here episode 395 of BRB UK. It's another week in the self-immolating dumpster fire that is 2020, but we're back to hopefully spread a little bit of joy, or at the very least, you know, make you hate us instead of the world around you for the next hour. So there's something, I suppose. Anyway, I'm Dan. I'm one of your hosts. Hello, and I'm joined this week by Coalman.
Dumpster fires make it hot. Hi!
Hi. I am already sweating my very nutsack off. Just going to say.
One thing I learned, I've only been a bald man for a couple of years, but one thing I learned instantly after shaving my head the first time when the sun started picking up is...
Sweaty heat!
You don't realise how much sweat your hair absorbs when don't have hair, and then it just dribbles down your face and you've got nowhere
Nice. I'm not sure I've said this to you before, Coalman, but you're a sexy man.
Me and my people do suffer.
Do you? You and your people?
We have no Tim.
No, we don't. He's covering himself in paint, is what he told us.
Not a euphemism. I did ask.
Nope, not even a euphemism.
I'm not there. Mm-hmm. So, Tim's decorating his flat. He's gone mad on the decorating and we can't stop him. So
I know. Both of us did kind of slightly wonder what the urgency was, but, you know, it's Tim. I'm not going to mess with
Tim. When was the last
time
you've been to Tim's flat?
Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, though.
The urgency was 10 years ago.
I mean, I'm glad that he's finally stopping it looking like a real-life recreation of the Young Ones. I'm all up for that.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Student chic.
Like, shabby chic is still, I think, doing it a little bit of a service where actually, you know, I mean, Tim, you're a top chap. Your house, start with a lick of paint. You might need a bit more doing to it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to going around and seeing the finished result, unless he listens back to this podcast and goes, I'm never inviting this dickhead back to my flat again.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yes, so it's been a week.
It's been a very eye-opening week in the games industry.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I think we just need to kind of address this head on, don't we, really? I think there's no other way to go about it. I mean, there's been, frankly, some pretty despicable behaviour in many corners of the video games community. And I first heard about this through, surprise, surprise, the Destiny community. There was a story of, well, at least one well-known Destiny streamer who goes by the name Say No to Rage, absolutely no relation to anyone involved with Sarcastic Gamer. Lono, completely different people. Okay.
Different Lono.
Different Lono before. Okay. No haranguing. Basically, the long and short of it is that it was always a bit of a mystery why this guy was suddenly uninvited from a number of Destiny conventions. Turns out that actually quite a lot of it had to do with him kind of abusing his position as an influencer within the community to make physical advances on girls. Never mind the fact, you know, he's got a girlfriend of his own as well. You know, he just thought it's okay because he's well known within the community to kind of try and Harvey Weinstein his way to the top, to be blunt. It's obviously not acceptable in any way, shape or form. As if that wasn't bad enough, there was news of yet more, you know, shenanigans going on by Clan who goes by the name BSK, and a number of them, you know, not only were they basically trying to ruin other streamers by kind of constantly doing DDoS attacks to them. Again, these were quite a kind of an influential bunch of streamers, again, using their positions to proposition the opposite sex, and even kind of sunk to the level of sharing nudes they've received from people they were propositioning.
Which is just gross in itself.
Words can't describe how just scummy and disgusting this behaviour is and just should not be tolerated by anyone anywhere. To give the people who used to sponsor these individuals their dues, as soon as there was news of this, and it wasn't just, oh, well, it's easy to make an accusation, prove it. Put it this way, there was just so much out there. There were so many reports that it couldn't not be evidence that something was going on. And, you know, not that it's right to gaslight anybody who comes forward with, you know, serious allegations. I mean, I would hope that anyone who does come forward with such allegations, you know, I'm sure they would have evidence to it, or at least be able to find a way to get their story across in a manner that means they get the justice they deserve.
Yeah, of course. The other big thing as well this week is over in Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is a game that's coming out this year. I believe it's the lead director, Ashmif Ismail, has had to step down because there's been allegations against him of cheating on his wife and using his status to do so. And he's stepped down and released a statement to say that he's truly sorry to his family and ashamed and all this kind of stuff. So there's that as well. And then there's a few different instances this week that has kicked off essentially the Me Too movement kicking back off again towards the game industry and the wrestling industry, weirdly enough. I've seen a lot of stuff that's made me feel pretty sick to companies that I've enjoyed in the past, but in video games especially, because, you know, we love video games. We'd have to. We mm-hmm. You've been doing this show for...
Oh, we don't have to. I mean, it's not like Tim comes... I mean, Tim comes around your house and threatens you with things just for separate reasons.
We'd have to be in love with video games to be doing this for this long, and you and Tim even longer, you know, writing on video game sites and blogs and stuff. But we're not part of the video game industry as in the professional video game industry. We don't make video games. We don't professionally cover video games. We just do this as a kind of hobby. And we're kind of on the outside looking in. So you see the video games industry as, you know, from a childlike wonder as you grow up, this amazing thing to be involved in any way, shape or form, whether that's the press or the creative process or even just being involved in studios in any kind of way. And then when you hear about these things, disgusting things, that makes you open your eyes incredibly wide and kind of shines a light on this kind of beacon that you've been looking at your whole life and then go, oh, wait, hold on. It's full of seedy pricks, and it's not a good look on the industry. And hopefully people bringing this stuff to light. We've had to have a lot to go on this week. Oh, well, since coronavirus, in fact, since the world's kind of shut down, we've been at home and a lot of stuff is getting brought to light. Cases of racism, cases of sexism. Just don't be a dick, and don't drag our childhood hobbies into it either.
The unfortunate truth of it is, no matter what industry you look at, there are people who abuse their positions within the community associated with that industry, be it the movie industry, be it video games, be it comic books, be it business, be it politics.
You think after so many years of stuff like this getting brought to light and people being able to... Everyone has a platform to speak vocally about injustice. And when people do so, you'd think the people that are like, which I really like being a scumbag, maybe I'll do it in an industry that... I won't get called out and ruin my entire reputation and die on my sword, basically. But no, it still happens. And it boggles the mind.
Go and audition for the next series of The Apprentice. You would be welcome there, I think, is pretty much as far as it goes.
Hey, Tim was on The Apprentice.
He was. He doesn't like to talk about it.
No.
But the other thing to bear in mind, and I think I said this last week, I speak as a white middle-class bloke.
What?
Okay. I know, right? Amazing. Swore
you were an Afro-Caribbean.
Yeah, indeed. But there are a number of things that I don't understand.
No.
Or have a meaningful touch point on because of the luck I've had with the upbringing I've had. However, it is my responsibility to try and learn about those things. And ignorance is no excuse. And, you know, sometimes you are going to say the wrong thing. Sometimes you are going to do the wrong thing. You've got to learn from it. And it's only if you don't learn and you continue to be willfully ignorant that I think really it is a problem. The flip side to this is obviously you want to be protective of your friends, of your peers. You want to make sure that people don't feel ostracized in any way. But it's kind of gone, what was an interesting is a very glib way to put it. It's one of the things that came to the fore this week again, Destiny, is that people were getting kind of offended on behalf of other groups of which they are not necessarily a member. So there's a kind of a long running meme in Destiny that, you know, Titans are so stupid, they eat crayons, basically.
Because Titans are the big hulking muscle men, so therefore they have small brains.
Exactly.
Even outside of Destiny, it's a stereotype that's lasted as long as time.
But someone considered that this term might be offensive to people on the autistic spectrum and kind of raised this to Bungie's community managers, who in these heightened times of division, which we face, which, you know, obviously they don't want to perpetuate, they kind of came down like a ton of bricks and kind of denounced anyone who kind of used that phrase, even if it be in a self-deprecating manner. You know, obviously I can see how that term could cause offence, but actually, once I thought about it, was made to think about it, how it could cause offence. But there are a number of people who are on the autistic spectrum and who are part of the Destiny community actually kind of said, I've never been offended by that, and kind of how dare you represent my point of view on my behalf, without actually finding out about whether this is a term that does truly cause offence to the demographic which you purport to represent.
I believe that, because we spoke about this before we started recording, and one of the terms is eating crayons. And eating crayons does not mean you're an autistic person. It means you're the dumb child. You're the child that's not paying attention. You're eating the crayons. You shouldn't be doing that. It's the idea of, you've called someone stupid, therefore you've called them autistic. As I will, shame on you for thinking that autism means stupid.
Well, indeed. And, you know, a number of people said, hey, God, I never even made the connection until you vocally complaining about it. And that's not to say, however, that there isn't any merit that it... I mean, clearly one person has construed it in that way, so many others may well do as well. But again, you've got to be so careful when speaking on behalf of other people. Of course you should. If there is rank injustice, you should always, always, always call that out. But make sure that, you know...
You're calling out the right thing at the right person.
Calling out the right thing, and that you're not misrepresenting a demographic that actually you are not part of yourself, or haven't gone to the lengths of trying to find out about how this phrase might impact those who are from that demographic. I think that's what it is. You know, I think we're going through some real uncharted waters in terms of social media, in light of coronavirus, in light of Black Lives Matter, in light of all of the protest and the social fallout from that. And we're all going to say things that are a bit wrong. But again, I come back to the fact that we've all got to take this as an opportunity to learn. And I think that's the most important thing we can do.
I can't remember if it was, I think it was Boom Show years ago, when they were still making regular episodes, but they spoke about...
They had one 3 months ago.
they do three a year now, I think, something like that. But they were talking about kind of the climate we're in now, and being children, and, you know, you call someone gay as an insult because you didn't know what gay meant. It was just a term that people called each other. It was I'm guilty of that myself. Like, I'm a kid that was born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, and I'd call people things or use things as insults, didn't know what they meant.
Yeah.
And then when you do kind of, you either go, oh God, I've been saying a horrible thing, I'm going to stop doing that, or ha ha ha, I'll keep doing that. And luckily, you know, I've always fallen on the side of, let's stop saying these horrible things, because now I know what they mean, that's a horrible thing.
And, you know, my formative years, well, you know, I hasten to add, I'm not millennial, I was born at the end of the 70s, and because I'm the world's oldest man, clearly.
Yeah, who unfairly looks younger than me, thanks.
Yeah, I know, right? It's what I try, it was those restful years I spent working in an A&E department.
That's it.
you steered clear. Gave me my youthful.
You steered clear of IT, and that's why you have your youthful collection.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, some of the things I think back on that I remember from a kid, like being around my grandmother's house and, you know, thinking absolutely nothing of it as a child. But I can distinctly remember brands of marmalade whose kind of logo was, you know the word I'm going to say here, but I'm not.
Not going to say the word, but the character's called Golly. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, innocent me didn't, you know, when you're 3 or 4, that the impact of that doesn't actually hit you. But now looking back on it, you know, God, what an awful thing that was. What an awful thing that was. And, you know, I think kind of in many social ways, kind of the human race is slightly coming of age now. I think we're actually thinking, hang on, there's been such injustice over the years and it can't continue and it's not right. But basically, don't be a dick, I think, is the way we can summarize this.
That's the takeaway from this show, I think, if anything.
Don't be a dick. And if you're worried you might be being a dick by accident, try and learn about whether or not you are being a dick.
It's education at the end of the day. It's if you don't know these things, learn these things, look around, see if you think something's offensive, maybe do your investigation first. If you hear about some injustice, then speak about it. You know, there's all these different things. And I do apologize for, we don't usually go on such a heavy tangent on the start of the show. My big thing this week, like, I've especially been peed off because a lot of...
Oh, Coleman, language.
Sorry. I try not to swear in general. A lot of outlets that I've always held in high regard, kind of like the gold standard of the industry, and then I hear things about them from their own staff, and then I get upset. But would you like to talk about some actual video games instead? And let's bring the show back to normal.
Going from don't be a dick to EA.
Well, Dan, would you like to know EA's plans for the next generation of consoles?
Okay, let me stop you there, because I'm a bit of a savant when it comes to this kind of
thing. Whoa, sweet child of mine.
I know. I think they are going to, for the 15th year in a row, at least, go back to the ever-giving well that is Madden and FIFA.
Well, I wanted to say, if you wanted to know what EA are thinking for the next generation of consoles, sadly, we have to gloss over EA Play quite a bit. But don't worry, EA also glossed over EA Play quite a bit when we watched it.
Yeah, they did a bit, didn't they?
It was a whole lot of nothing in that event. I mean, there was stuff, there were words. Greg Miller was there. I like Greg Miller. I don't like when Greg Miller works off a script. He becomes very unlikable.
No.
But EA Play, they had stuff, but not really much that you wanted to talk about. So
it was a very safe showing.
Yeah, I will run through. I've written down the agenda, all the stuff from the show, but I won't go through absolutely every little detail. I have added some extra bits that I've looked into after the show, so I'll run through very quick. They did do some Apex Legends stuff. The next season is launching on June the 23rd. There's going to be a new launch of the game on Steam and Nintendo Switch later this year, and you'll have full crossplay in between all the platforms.
Although you wouldn't want to be, if you're a Switch player coming up against a PC player, that ain't going to be fun times, just saying.
The Sims 4 is now on Steam, and they put out a big thing to say, hey, we're Sims, and we are holier than thou, and don't be a dick. They basically did what we did at the start, but they made it much more patronizing.
I think they actually went...
They even did black background, white font, but then they put the Sims logo in on there as well. I was like, you kind of lost me there.
Yeah, you know, I've struggled over the years to get excited about The Sims.
We had three different indie titles that EA are working on, well, EA are publishing. The first one is It Takes Two, which follows a child whose parents are divorcing, and to cope, she can creates imaginary versions of them, and they kind of work in through this kind of puzzle platformer game that's going to come out next year. And it's from the guy, your favourite guy from the Game Awards, Dan, the one who said F the Oscars.
Oh, lovely. Nice. Brilliant. Good. He's a well-branded chap. Yeah,
I believe he said this game is going to kick your ass or something. I don't know.
Something Prison Breaky thing, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? I still haven't played that game. And
I haven't played that yet either. It's one of those things I was like, that sounds really awesome. I'd love to play it. And maybe that's an extra life task for us both, Coleman.
Well, I think I picked that up on launch. I was like, damn, I want to play this game. It looks amazing. Like, put down my pre-order. It came out. I went, Tim, you want to play this game? I was like, nah, not really. Yeah. And then I went, all right, well, I'll play it on my own. Oh, you have to play it with someone else. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like an extra life task for us two this year,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah.
Lost in Random. Now, I've got a lot of time for...
Terrible title.
Yeah, terrible title, but it's Zoink Games, and I've got a lot of time for Zoink Games. They make Stick It to the Man and Death Flipped.
You see, I wasn't a big fan of Stick It to the Man. It's something, I don't know whether it's just some kind of horrendous experience I have tucked in my subconscious. I find their art style just very creepy and unnerving.
Okay, I was going to say, if you didn't like the game but you liked the art style, then try Death Flipped. It's a very different type of game. But
other way around.
Yeah, I really liked the art style. And Death Flipped is a really good game. If you see that on sale anywhere, pick it up. Stick It to the Man, I think, was a PS Plus game, so you might already own it.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure about the anthropomorphic dice, however, with his flippy head mouth thing.
So, Lost in Random, Dark Kingdom, where every citizen's future is determined by the roll of a dice. There is a evil overlord dice in charge, and then a younger dice that is accompanying you on the journey to try and overthrow the king. To be confirmed, next year or so.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it going to settle the age-old battle of which is better, D6, D12 or D20?
I believe it's D12, although since some of those members have left the group or have died and Eminem's not part of it.
Oh, for
modern day
sakes.
Arguments, I think, not great. But
get out.
Yeah, okay.
Get out.
Rocket Arena, another game that can get out, maybe. I've looked at a lot of previews of this game in the past. It's a 3-on-3 rocket. It's kind of Overwatch, but just 3-on-3s, and everyone use rocket launchers. It's coming out. It's coming out 14th of July.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, wow, they really want you to know it's zany. It's a zany game.
Apparently, this one's a very average game.
Yeah, looks like it probably is. Generally, things that have to shout how zany they are generally are trying a bit too hard.
Star Wars Squadrons we covered last week. 5-on-5 battles, dogfights. There'll be a single player mode. The single player mode will introduce characters from different versions of Star Wars entertainment, be that films and TV shows, which I'm actually really looking. I said last week, I'm not as convinced on this game as everyone else seemed to be, but now I've seen the gameplay, I was like, okay, I'm actually kind of sold on this now.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looked kind of dynamic and involving and kind of everything you kind of would want a Star Wars space battle sim to look like. Again, it's kind of what the stuff they haven't said or haven't shown, I actually think, is the bigger worry. I mean, I've had this before even with Battlefield games, going, oh, wow, that sounds incredible. This kind of all-encompassing total war, or, oh, I'm just going to be part of a big fleet battle. And actually, it's kind of a little bit underwhelming in parts.
I'm wondering if it's 5-on-5 and then a ridiculous amount of AI is chucked in there,
much like the
Battlefront system, which is a good system. It works. It feels good to shoot TIE fighters out the sky, even if they aren't human players.
Makes me feel like I don't need to get quite as good, I believe is the term the kids use.
Just hoping, because this is, if you play single player, you play one character from the Resistance, the Rebels, one character from the Empire. And I'm just hoping that it is that contrast all the way through, because with Battlefront 2, they put a lot of emphasis in going, you are playing someone from the Empire. They even brought the actress out on stage at E3 in the full Empire gear to talk down to the crowd and introduce the game.
She felt like a right turnip.
Yeah, and I was really looking forward to this game. I was like, yeah, play Darkseid. Well, not Darkseid, Empire. I'm all in. And then you play the story mode. You're Empire for about 2 minutes, and then suddenly you're part of the Rebels throughout the rest of the game. It was, they should have kind of spelt that stuff out. Anyway, October the 2nd, that is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. That will have full cross-play between all the platforms and VR support for PS4 and PC. And
which does look awesome, I have to say.
And also apparently not a full-price title. I think this is £10 less than a regular title.
Why? What are they up to? This is EA. They like money.
I don't know, because they've said there's no microtransactions or anything insidious included in the game. Like, who are you?
Apart
what have you
Darth
done with
Sidious.
EA?
apart from Darth Sidious, of course, who,
maybe.
You know, he's, yes. Mm. Yeah, again, it's like, this is unlike you. What are you up to?
We'll see. EA Sports, we got a very quick tease of Madden 21 and FIFA 21 in action.
Are people still going to be kicking pig bladders about?
Yes.
All right, well, that's all you need to know.
Well, no, now it's the next generation, so now you kick full pigs.
Really? Amazing. Just pigs, not like warthogs?
Just swine in general, I think.
Just swine in general.
Boars.
Okay,
boars.
Good. Boars, really? They fight back, though. Actually, I would pay.
That's why you
got to
really
see.
Kick them.
And then just see one of them absolutely destroy Cristiano Ronaldo. It would just be amazing.
We've only got the current gen versions of this game for release dates. That's October 9th, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, via Origin and Steam. Although they haven't given the release dates for the next generation systems, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, they will be both part of EA's dual entertainment system, which basically means...
Or DES, if you will.
They're going to go, hey, you know what Xbox are doing? We're doing that, but we're going to put a time limit on when you have to buy this game and this system by for you to get the upgrade. But they haven't given the dates on when those are yet. We'll see.
No. Basically, if you buy it between 3:02 and 3:07 on a Tuesday afternoon on the last weekend before the Pagan Festival of something... Then you get it. I'm guessing it's going to be pretty arcane, I'm guessing. I'm not sure why I brought pagans into it, but there we go. Yes, and there was a couple of teasers as well, such as forthcoming...
Blinking, you miss it.
Yeah, it was real blinking, you miss it. But if you slowed down time and made your blink extra slow, you would have seen little hints of stuff like Dragon Age, Battlefield, Need for Speed, and a new project, a rather mysterious new project by EA Motive.
Also, these will be running, apparently, on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and high-end PCs. And then lastly, they closed the show out with Cuz Parry and Darren Chung taking to the stream to announce a brand new Skate game, which is apparently really early in development, as Skate 3, and also Skate 3 was released in 2010, so 10 years between the two for the announcement. They said that the community have commented this game into existence, where I think in reality what happened is the community commented a mobile game into existence, which was covered through leaks because EA asked a professional skater if he would be in their mobile game, and he basically turned them down, called them some nasty words, and said that the community didn't want a mobile game, they wanted a regular game. And then because that leaked, I think that has what has caused a regular Skate game to be in production. Untitled at the moment.
I'm guessing, although it's untitled, it's probably going to be something along the lines of Skate 4.
I think they'll just call it Skate.
You reckon?
Yeah, rebrand.
They're going to go all iPhone about it.
Listening to the Android himself, Andrew Wilson, on a earnings call, he did mention that interest is...
Wow, that's a whole height of dull, that combination, isn't
Android
it?
Android Wilson.
Android Wilson.
The bad guy from Mirror's Edge Catalyst, as everyone knows. I believe he was on an earnings call saying that the interest in Skate has gone through the roof since the announcement, and that they're looking at some kind of community involvement in creation of some form in the new Skate game. So,
like, basically, please make it better than the total arse water that was the recent Tony Hawk games, is pretty much what they're capitalising on.
Bit of a dab squib of a. Considering this is meant to be an E3 replacement, not just EA Play, but the EA Play E3 replacement. And we didn't really get much out of it, I felt. And also, where was Anthem? You're meant to be rebooting Anthem and fixing that crocker poo.
Yeah, dude, that's never happening.
It's got to happen. I bought, I got given a copy.
Yeah, for how much did you buy? Tell you what,
I didn't.
I got a live...
Oh, sorry. It's time for the segment. We like to bring in it every now and then.
How much is Anthem worth this week?
How much is Anthem worth, Dan? I didn't have a jingle, so I used the Inception horn.
Didn't you? So it was just a big, like,
it's like a big fart, like Anthem's launch.
Well, it is.
A lot of noise.
I'm going to put it...
Not a decent staying.
I'm going to guess that Anthem is worth £4.32 this week.
Ooh, okay. I mean, I got given my copy. I don't know how much Tim paid for his. Tim did pay for one, didn't he? I vaguely remember this.
I think he did. Mm. Not very much. I think he paid about £8.
He's not on the show to defend himself, so... We'll leave it at that.
So, yeah, he bought it for £300.
Yeah. Another disappointment this week is that Microsoft is shutting down Mixer from July 22nd. They've not given us much time. How will we pack up our emotional Mixer baggage, Dan?
It was kind of an answer to a question no one was asking, Mixer, wasn't it? I think there wasn't really that much investment into integrating it into the Xbox platform, which is really what they wanted to do, bearing in mind they led quite so heavily early on in the Xbox One with Twitch integration. And I think just that's got such momentum in the market now that it's very hard, unless you're bringing in something that's completely new, which I can't really see where people would go. Yeah, it's all moving to Facebook Gaming, apparently. So if you
can watch live streams on Facebook while your uncle tells you racist things.
Exactly. So if you want to embrace that, well, more the more power to you. But certainly I think I think the kind of the partnered big name streams they got, which was Ninja, Gathalion.
King Gathalion.
King Gathalion.
He didn't get that crown just to call him Mr. Gathalion.
No, so I didn't spend 6 years at King School to be called Mr. Gathalion. Thank you very much.
Shroud.
And Shroud. Yeah. There we go. Apparently, they're released released from any obligations to remain on on Mixer and can go back to Twitch. I'd imagine they all got rewarded fairly handsomely for their exclusivity.
I believe they got full payouts of their contracts. So, for instance, Ninja is the big headline. He got offered something ridiculous like $40 million to jump over to Mixer, which he's apparently just got a full buyout from.
All right, well, that sounds all right to me.
Apparently they get offered all the perks and stuff to stay on and go to Facebook Gaming, but they are free to go elsewhere. I believe so far, Corey, Ging, Goliath, and Michael has taken up the offer to go to Facebook Gaming, but that's only one out of the three. Ninja's not really hurting for money. He's just got $40 million. He's on TV shows constantly. He's got a range of Nerf guns, comics, ridiculous amounts of promotion. He's got a Fortnite skin. That guy's all right. He's doing okay. He doesn't need to go
He's
to Facebook.
He's got a Fortnite skin in the game.
But yeah. It's odd because we are approaching a new Xbox coming out this year. Due to the integration with Xbox and Mixer through this generation, I was wondering how that was going to go going forward, because they've done perks in games for streaming to Mixer and vice versa, perks in Mixer for playing particular games and streaming them. And then things that they've also done in Twitch integration, like if you're watching a game, you can affect things that happen in the game by commenting in Mixer. I was looking forward to seeing what the next evolution of that is with Xbox One, but they've clearly decided it's not working out, and they did go hell for leather with this system. They've taken over panels at E3 and other shows and set up booths, and they've done a lot of integration and promotion and stuff. It's just a shame that that's all been rolled up into Facebook. If you're not one of the top performers though, and you are a Mixer partner, you will be granted partner status with Facebook Gaming, for what that's worth. But
wow,
I don't...
do I have to do anything to the gentleman area of Zuckerberg while I'm at it?
I think he's just got to oil his joints every now and then. He's in the
lovely
Andrew Wilson camp of...
Feed him some children.
He's a full robot, so... Yeah,
he's a terrible
if you are a Mixer viewer and you have an outstanding Ember balance,
I totally know what that is.
You will I'm assuming that's some form of currency you get in Mixer Pro or a Mixer Pro subscription. You will receive Xbox gift card credit, so there you go.
Lucky you,
lucky son of a gun.
Lucky you.
You've used Mixer, haven't you? I've never used it.
I briefly used it because they were giving away free stuff for Sea of Thieves. It seemed perfectly all right. To be honest, it seemed a little less toxic than Twitch.
That's because it wasn't as popular.
I thought, I kind of found the way they kind of surfaced new streamers and kind of emerging talent was a bit better than on Twitch. But that's, again, probably because it was an order of magnitude smaller. So it's probably easier for them to do that. But... yeah, I mean, clearly it wasn't doing what Microsoft wanted it to do, and I think it didn't really fit into their vision of kind of the gaming platform that they want the Xbox service to be.
It's a shame. I liked the idea that you could do the concurrent streaming, one on like up to four players, was it? And they'd kind of split the screen and link it all up, and it kind of, as someone who's edited videos and edits podcasts, audio, and you know, all these kind of things... It's nice to see that stuff work when it automatically does it itself. That part in particular, I think is a shame we're losing. But hey ho.
Yeah. Well, thank God they're the only things that are sold out to Facebook this week.
Sorry, Tim, you won't get a sequel to The Order 1886.
I forgot that was in the same that the stablemate of Rise, as it were, a game that looks very pretty and should have been excellent but was garbage.
Well, problem one, you put massive black borders to make it look cinematic, and it's just
not totally keep a poorly optimized game engine above 30 frames.
Made it so you have to squint to look at the game. The other thing is you wanted it to be Gears of War without making it as fun as Gears of War, and the other is I think that game was comprised entirely of different shades of gray. But it looked lovely.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things. The atmosphere of the game, I thought, was incredible, and the visual design was incredible. It's just, again, they slightly forgot to put a compelling game in the game.
It's a shame. But the outside of the Order 1886, they did go off and start... Like, they were the first, one of the first big studios to really knuckle down and start doing some content for VR. And Lone Echo became a huge title that they're working on, and that they were working on. And they're currently working up on a follow up as well. And because they've released this VR game on Oculus, they've been swiped up by Oculus Studios, which is owned by Facebook. So. There you go. But it's, you know, it's good for them. If they're happy to work just on solely on VR games now, and Facebook are willing to keep them sweet, then good for them. I'm all happy for that.
Well, I think we're going to be seeing a bit of it. What's actually interesting about Microsoft selling Mixer to Facebook is I think Microsoft are going to increase their stake in kind of VR infrastructure going forward, because they've buddied up with HP in terms of the second gen Reverb headset, which looks actually a fantastic bit of kit, and I might pull the trigger on it. I don't know.
If HP are anything to go by, and their laptop products that I've owned in the past are anything to go by, I can't wait till they strap a heatsink to the wrong area and it catches fire.
Hey, look, all I know is that they make incredible compliments.
Although my soundboard's comprised of a HP touchscreen laptop, so...
Hey, buddy!
There you go.
Hey.
What it's worth. Yeah, anyway, good luck to you, Ready at Dawn. Sorry, Tim, you're not getting the sequel to The Order 1886, which I was secretly hoping would be The Order 1986, which would basically be the same game in the 80s, much better soundtrack.
Yeah, but probably the same clothes. There would have been a bunch of new romantics.
Adamant's running about.
It's somewhere in the bounds of Hoxton.
I like it.
Would have been incredible.
Just sort of off the back of that as well, the Oculus Go got scrapped this week. They've taken that off the market now. No more support for the Oculus Go, which the Oculus Quest is kind of... I think a lot of the functionality of Oculus Go is now rolled into the Oculus Quest.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
so it makes sense. But sorry if you bought one of those.
Yeah, I didn't.
Dan, did you watch the Marvel Avengers War Table stream? Sorry. I've called it War Room so many times.
I watched a little. I kind of did a bit of a speed watch of it. All I know is that we're facing, guess what, the worst crisis that humanity's ever faced.
Characters that look like they could be the film characters, but they've got different faces.
The evil twins of like Chris Hemsworth, Robert Downey Jr.
They're not meant to be them. Okay.
No, I know, but they look like kind of like if you were like if you really wanted to try and impress your kid at their birthday party and you're a little bit short of cash, couldn't afford the $10 million to get RDJ to show up in person. This is what these people would look like. I've watched a little bit of it. It kind of looks. I mean, bless him, on the Discord, Riker went, "Oh, it looks a bit like Anthem." I just think he saw Iron Man and assumed it was Anthem.
Yeah, everyone's either made those comparisons to Destiny or Anthem or even Diablo because of the kind of loot system. And this is it's not a looter shooter; it's a looter hack and slash with a shooter thrown in. So I guess it has...
A hacker slacker.
It's got some Anthem kind of bells to it. But we got so they did this War Table stream, and it comprised of essentially three different trailers and then explanation for each trailer in between them. So the first one is more based on the story. It's the MODOK threat, it's called. MODOK is unveiled as the big villain for this this story, along with AIM. MODOK, if you don't know, he kind of looks like Humpty Dumpty in a metal chair. He's a mechanized organism designed only for killing, which is one of the greatest names in all of Marvel Comics.
He's got a lot of face.
He's got a very big face. And then after that, we got a trailer called Once an Avenger, which is showing kind of the standalone single player. You go off and do these hero missions. And this was following Thor, who had his Dr. Donald Blake get up, which I liked. And they're all fighting on a helicarrier, the robots from AIM, and that looked very nice. And they showed you some of the powers and stuff. And then they showed us the co-op war zones, which is where you're teaming up with other players.
Which is, actually, with coronavirus, what it's like down my local shop trying to get a loaf of bread. Different co-op?
Different co-op. But it looks very interesting. They show a lot of the tag team stuff. But also following that, they showed a lot of the loot stuff, which is kind of, you got customizable costumes and things, but also you can swap out different weapons and have different customizable elements, much like a Destiny or a Anthem. I'm really looking forward to this game. I've only played the opening level, the A-Day level, EGX. And after finally playing it for myself, I was like, I don't care. I'm sold. I don't care what the rest of this game is. After seeing the game, I was like, oh, I probably should have cared before I'd seen how the rest of this game functions. But this, I'm all for this. And I think there's a decent level of single player content, it looks like, that will be there before you have to start teaming up with your friends online, which is something I'm a bit wary of now, because I get into these online games and people fall off them or move platforms or just lose interest. And yeah, I like the look of this Avengers game. And I know a lot of people are kind of, they see it and go humdrum Destiny Anthem, but after playing it and seeing this, I'm willing to give it a go.
Well, you would just be, basically what you're secretly hoping this ends up as is there's some kind of wrestling Marvel Cinematic Universe crossover.
No, I just want to be Iron Man, Dan. Look, I've been waiting for a copy of Iron Man VR. They keep pushing it back.
Okay, all right. Easy, Coleman. Happy place.
I've got just over a week to wait for this copy. They're going to push it back further. I know they are.
Stop tugging on your nutsack. It's absolutely fine. Jesus. Anyway,
I'm looking forward. What did you think?
But I'm not entirely sure what kind of game it wants to be yet.
I like the idea of taking the looter shooter format and branching off into other games. And they've essentially looked like if Devil May Cry was a looter shooter. I'm up for this. I like that idea.
Well, let's see how it all pans out, I think, is... I think kind of like with the kind of quasi-MMO that shut down all those years ago, again, it's going to be interesting to see how stymied they are with respect to kind of demands from Marvel and how the characters should be portrayed in terms of their aesthetics, how that limits, like, kind of... I mean, you still find you can do like the kind of the build of your characters in terms of min-maxing with the equipment, stuff like that. But it's quite nice to actually make them visually look different as well, and how much agency individual players would have
It's not only you're just changing the look of your character, but you're changing, like, the example they show is Tony Stark, his pulsar lasers aren't blue, they're green or red, and that's attributed to different types of
all the variety.
Well, they're attributed to different types of power-ups that you're using. So in conjunction with that and the ability to select your moves as well, you could be teaming up with an Iron Man in one game that's completely different to an Iron Man in a different game, because everyone's got their own preference. I like that. It looked really good. And also, if you get the PS4 version, you get a free upgrade to PS5. If you get the the Xbox One version, you get a free upgrade to the Xbox Series X version. PC is just one platform.
Yeah.
Those are the headlines, and there was a lot of them.
Yes, and there's also quite a few points of interest that we need to rattle through.
Oh, I can rattle, my friend.
Rattle away. Hit me.
Let's get ready to rattle.
All right, let's get ready to grumble. Go for it.
Tokyo Game Show 2020, or TGS 2020. That was cancelled because of coronavirus. They are doing a digital event. We've now got the dates for that. It will be running from the 23rd of September, ending on the 27th of September. Livestream details will come at a later date.
Happy days.
There is a new Crash Bandicoot title called Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, which... correct me if I'm wrong, there's a lot of years in between titles where titles have come out that are now being ignored. That's fine. The canonical sequel from Toys for Bob. They made the Crash Insane trilogy, Spyro Reignited trilogy, and also they worked on Skylanders and the Crash kart game. I always forget the name of that.
The target audience for this game is probably a bunch of people who weren't even alive when the original Crash Bandicoot came out. I'll just let you think on that for a bit. We're all old.
I've never been into Crash Bandicoot, but then I did. I picked up the Insane Trilogy because it was getting such brilliant reviews. And I'm actually all for this. October 2nd, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Pokemon Unite is another Pokemon title that's been announced this week, and holy hell, the Pokemon community are not happy. This is described as a strategic team-based battle game, or a MOBA if you will, for the Nintendo Switch and mobile devices with crossplay. It will be released as a free-to-start game. So many people are angry with this game. I don't understand why. If you don't like the game, don't play the game, and you kind of vote with your wallet. Okay.
But we're special snowflakes. We want all the things.
I mean, if Blastoise is in it, I'll play it. And he is, so I probably will.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
The voice of reason. I am
the voice of reason. Squirtle Squad for life, yo. Delays this week. We have got two of them. Tales of Arise, which I'd never heard of until today, has been delayed from its 2020 release window due to COVID-19. And
you mean you don't know that it's the next entry in the beloved Tales of series? Because I certainly fucking don't.
Anyway, it's been pushed back. There's no release window given at the moment.
Fair enough.
Cyberpunk 2077. Currently, as we're recording, there is this huge live stream going on, Night City, which we'll have to report on next week because it's too big.
I totally expect that live stream to end in yet another delay. How many times has Cyberpunk 2077 been delayed?
Four, but I think only two of them are official. The rest are...
Right.
Sales calls and stuff. But CD Projekt Red, they came out and said that it's been delayed from September the 17th to November the 19th.
Adding more customizable phalli.
They basically come out and said that it's ready when it's ready. The story's there. The game is built. We need to go through and fix bugs and sort stuff out. So it's not a huge delay.
It's feature complete, is I think the way they the sanitized way.
I like
they
to call it
things.
Ubisoft ready.
But what era of Ubisoft ready are we talking
Assassin's
about?
Assassin's Creed Unity.
Okay, well that's it needs more time than the other.
And lastly, huge rumor this week, according to first of all, there was a guy from Reset Era called Drifting Orbit. He found domain listings by Mark Monica Inc., who they registered the WarnerBrothersGame.com domain and many others for Warner Brothers games in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And they have raised three new domains, one called SuicideSquadGame.com, SuicideSquadKillsTheJusticeLeague.com, and GothamKnightsGame.com. Now, we've had rumors of Warner Brothers Montreal working on a Arkham follow-up where it stars Batman's son and they use a lot of the systems from the Lord of the Rings games, Shadow of Mordor, the Nemesis system, I think they called it. And that's been rumored for a while. Gotham Knights, that would make sense. But Eurogamer have come up to say, due to their looking at their sources as well, apparently Rocksteady is indeed working on a new title based around Suicide Squad, called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which...
Good job we're going to buy him for a tenner next week.
It looks like... It's funny, because we talked about last week the potential of Warner Brothers Interactive getting sold and we were going to have a whip round and buy them and all that kind of stuff. Ha jokes. But I did mention...
No, but we are, aren't we?
Well, of course we are. We're rich. Everyone knows that.
Can we?
That's why we do this podcast, because we're rich.
Yeah. We're rich, clearly. Clearly.
I did mention a lot of the rumours that have been surrounding Rocksteady on what their titles are before Arkham Knight and all seem to be get turned down. One of them was a Suicide Squad game. So this could be that Suicide Squad game. And I would like to play a game called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's all your news this week.
Flipping heck, mate.
It was a bit.
Strap in. I think we... Well, I think really there's only one thing we absolutely should really talk about in what we've done played. And that's
did Tim play Resident Evil 7?
Tim?
He's not here.
And I don't actually care. I'm sorry. I don't. It'd be good for him if he has.
It's been 2 weeks. I need to know, did Tim play Resident Evil 7 yet? And obviously no, because that's the real reason he ducked out this week's show. Painting my ass, not painting my ass. Comma, my ass.
Well, that would be incredible. Right. So there's a little game this week that came out. A little indie game called Last of Us 2, which, Coldman, I understand you have played through and completed, and has been, perhaps, I think it's fair to say, the on the receiving end of people's expectations perhaps being a little unrealistically high.
Yeah. Okay. I think you've got two kind of camps here. Is one, there are a lot of people that really, 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 really love The Last of Us. They are, you know, my girlfriend I've mentioned is one of those people who keeps playing it, the multiplayer and stuff. You got people who love the story, absolutely love the lore of The Last of Us and the idea of a second game, just they kind of salivate over. So a lot of hype over the last 4 years, I think, since it's been announced. They've put a lot of stock into a sequel. Another camp are people that really don't like The Last of Us because of herp derp lesbian.
Oh, for God's sake. And murder, strangle dad, absolutely fine
also,
with him, of course.
So, you know, they've got splinter camps as well. People herp derp, I hate PlayStation. So The Last of Us Part 2, it's out. And I kind of rushed to play the game to finish it, but not because I wanted to get it done ready for the show. It was just I couldn't stop. And I rarely find...
Is that because you were worried your PS4 was going to burst into flames? Because I've heard a rumour that it makes them go a bit noisy, a little bit warm.
I've heard that too. And I don't know... I mean, my fan's loud anyway on my PlayStation. I don't know if that was this game, because... So me and my girlfriend are both playing, and she's playing on one PlayStation in one side of the room, I'm playing on PlayStation the other side of the room. But she's using the TV speakers, so I'm using my headphones. But I couldn't get the volume loud enough to drown out the television, so I plugged it into my mixer and turned it super loud so that would drown everything else out so I wouldn't get spoiled, because she was a fair bit ahead of me. So I don't know if mine was that loud, like as loud as everyone else is reporting, but I assume it was. I played through, I finished it, and as far as gameplay goes, I mentioned I only recently just played through the first game, and I played through that game to go, meh. It was very long and dragging and didn't really have much to say. And then when you got to the point where I was like, yes, I'm all in for this game, it's like, oh, there's about an hour left of the game. This time around, they've kind of punched it up. They've kind of catered to the people like me that were expecting a game similar to Uncharted. So they've kind of quickened the pace of the story and the action. They've added a jump button, which... isn't a great jump system.
Sacrilege.
I know.
Sacrilege.
Isn't a great jump system.
Anti-gravity hijinks, I'm not sure I
but
approve.
When you get used to it, it's actually kind of handy. Yeah, and but they've kind of done a lot of the same stuff that Uncharted 4 did, for instance. So for Uncharted 4, the big mechanic they introduced was the rope mechanic, but it was the kind of physic-bending, breaking rope that... would pass through people and you could swing off of it and bounce off of it and stuff. And they've added a rope mechanic, but the way they've done the mechanics of this rope, the physics mechanics and stuff, very impressive the way it all works. You can kind of break windows or glass ceiling panels above you and throw the rope through it and then use it as a climbing rope. And it all works very well. It works exactly how you'd expect it to. There's lots of little details in the game, like, there is a character who carves something in a tree with a knife, and the way it works, usually someone would cover the tree slightly, carve, and then move away, and then it's there. This, they kind of carve in real time, and it looks very impressive. There's safes in the game that you can follow a series of clues and find out what the code is to that safe and get a load of extra goodies. Or you could sit there and crack the safe. Because you can do that. Every time you hit the right digit out of 100 digits, it will make an ever so slightly different sound to the rest of the digits, and you've got to listen very carefully to hear it. So if you're in a noisy area,
is that really why you've been spending so long?
No. I just like these little details that they've thrown in there. The game itself, it's a lot of... And, you know, I will preface this. I have not been sent a review copy. That's why I am not restricted to the ridiculous review embargo, I think, in this case, where they went, hey, 12 hours of the game you can't talk about at all. And the reason for that is, and I'm not going to spoil, but there are two characters you play as. One is Ellie and one is a new character called Abby. And they're two different, the gameplay is the same, but they're two different characters in the way they approach situations and things. Anyway, the game itself, I've liked. It's a lot of stealth. It's a lot of very gruesome, gory stabbing in the neck, using weapons and things in ways that I've read a lot of people on Twitter going, oh, I had to take a minute and step away from the game or leave it a couple of days and come back to it because it was just too much. But I think I'm kind of desensitized to video game violence at this point in my life. So it's just ones and zeros that I'm quite happy to murk. There's a large section of this game that you can either take people out stealthily, take them out all guns blazing, or you could just sneak past and not kill anyone at all. I have killed everyone in this game, and I have no problem with that.
Fair enough.
But the as I say, they've kind of punched it up, much like Uncharted 4. They've kind of made it for a more mainstream audience than the first one, I felt. But similar to Uncharted 4, it means it outstays its welcome by about 6 hours.
Yeah, because that's what I've heard. It's the kind of, you know, everyone's been really happy to kind of have the gameplay of Last of Us back and kind of, you know, the kind of it really doubling down on what sounds like kind of the strategy, developing your own style of how you creep around the environment, how you avoid being detected, the kind of the options that you have available for you. But I have heard that story-wise, certainly in terms of new cast members, they're not quite as nuanced as returning favourites, and that the story kind of writes it, that the story has ended up writing itself into a bit of a corner, and then spends a long while trying to find its way out of that corner in a not particularly narratively thrilling way.
See, what I liked about the last... I mean, I didn't particularly like the story of the first Last of Us game. I don't particularly like the story of the second Last of Us game, but it's not my story to tell. I'm just observing. You can watch a film and go, didn't particularly like that film. You know, I didn't say I didn't particularly like this game. I like this game. I think the story, while engaging and keeps you on your toes and keeps you guessing and stuff, it has very what we'll call David Cage moments. I like David Cage games. I like Quantic Dreams' games. I like Detroit, and I like Heavy Rain. I like Detroit.
Am I going to come over there and have to have a word with you again?
But I can accept the writing is very hit you over the head. This is an obvious thing. You don't need to drag it through the ground. And that's what the story of this game does, I find. Without spoiling it for other people who might want to play this game or are currently in the midst of playing this game. I think the story's engaging, but the writing can be dumb, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
The first game, I didn't particularly like the story of that game. It has a story to tell. That story to tell is sacrificing the few to feed the many is bad. This is... revenge is bad. It's a thankless task and it will never end up in a good way. And I hear there's like...
And in Last of Us Part 3, sarcasm is the lowest form of
wit.
Yeah,
that'll be the next one.
Well,
they'll probably follow the David Cage route and the next game will be racism bad, but we won't use race as an example. It'll be mushroom people or something. I don't know. I've heard how this game was meant to end, and I prefer that ending to the way it has ended, but they've decided that they're going to go a different way. And it does seem like it's setting up for a very different way that they're going to do The Last of Us 3. And in my thought, I don't think there should have been a Last of Us Part 2, let's follow the adventures of Ellie or Joel. I think we should have had an anthology series. We should have had... The Last of Us, okay, you've set up this world beautifully. The opening scenes of The Last of Us, the very first opening, when the virus is going down, or it's not even a virus, the infection is going down, the world's going to hell. That is one of the most enthralling pieces of gameplay that I think have ever been made, especially in two generations ago for the PlayStation 3. I don't think they've really topped that in this game. And what I would have liked is Joel and Ellie first game, someone else in a different part of the US or even a different country altogether. And then you could have carried on that way.
Fair enough.
What you've instead done is tied the first into the second into the first. And then for the third, you could be going in a different direction, which means you could really lose your hardcore fan base. But yeah, anyway.
So in some ways, you think it would have almost been better if they'd left the Joel Nelly storyline completely behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I won't spoil anything for anyone, but I thought kind of Last of Us Part 1, I kind of felt satisfying is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. It was like, okay, that's a good self-contained story that I really enjoyed.
Leave it open-ended, and we'll leave go it. Somewhere else, yeah. Make reference to it. Yeah. I like this idea.
Exactly.
What they should have done with Stranger Things.
Yeah.
You've set up a world, stay in that world, explore it from different avenues. But the game, the mechanics, I enjoyed very much. I think it outstayed its welcome around about by 6 hours, like I said. But otherwise, I don't regret buying the game. I don't regret playing the game. I think there are some arguments that are warranted. I think there are some arguments that are damn right ridiculous. But it's a good game, and I can see why it's one of the, well, it's now the, I think it's the, in the UK especially, the fastest selling PlayStation exclusive now, and it's going to break all kinds of records.
It'd be interesting to see if it's got to be fairly high up there. I wonder if they're going to try and do a Last of Us Part 1 and 2 remastered for the PS5 circa next holiday season. I do wonder if that's on the cards.
I don't think you'll get that, but I'm pretty sure this game's going to come to PS5. Whether they will throw in the elusive multiplayer system, which people love so much, or they will just go whole hog and go, hey, do you know what? We're going to, because you guys love this multiplayer system and you're such a dedicated fan base, we're going to charge you another £50 and make a brand new game out of it, which I fully see them doing that too.
What great guys and girls. Anyway, we probably ought to start wrapping things up because we've been rabbiting on for ages and there's only two of us. So, what would you like to do first, Coleman?
Well, we can't do a Gosh update without Tim. There's still no Tabletop
Tuesday.
No, Tuesdays haven't been a thing since the dark times.
What about some community feedback? Feed me back my community.
Okay, so some people like to get in contact with the show and let us know. Questions, suggestions of games, things that are in their head, or some kind of feedback for the show. And they can do so, and you can do so, on our comment section on BigRedBarrel.com, on Facebook.com/BigRedBarrel, on Twitter @BigRedBarrel, and on our Discord, which you can find a link to. Very helpful. Hopefully on the front page of BigRedBarrel.com. Or if you're having a problem with that link, contact me or Dan on Twitter, Captain Average, Demet Coleman. We can sort you out.
Who knows? It might be the one day in the year I actually check Twitter and I might reply to you.
Well, I nearly said message us on Discord and then I thought, hold on a minute.
You got to find Discord. If you can get on Discord, then send us a message on how to find
something
Discord.
Said, very good. Anyway, so these are all via the Discord. I will say the usual by Sky Dark, the question of the week. I decided not to add it this week because he literally asked how many consoles you have. And I thought that's just, if we just list all our consoles, it's just boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But people are doing it on Discord and you can see all the interesting stuff that is on there.
There are some people trying to out hipster each other, though, I have noticed.
Yeah, I've got rid of all my retro consoles. So London doesn't allow for clutter.
Indeed.
So Jumping XP via Discord, he said that Tim mentioned on the last show that buying consoles in the January-March period, but he has known a few people, himself included, who have gotten new consoles in February due to birthdays / Valentine's Day / half term. Who buys half term presents?
Half term? Who? I've never had a half term present.
I want half term presents.
I want one.
Anyway, he said keep up the good work. He had some other stuff. There's a lot of love for Brink. Specifically, Jumpin' XP and Kev. So, there you go.
Yeah, to be fair, Kev's as old, nearly as old as I am, so I wouldn't trust his opinion on anything.
Jen also, he thought this is worth a mention. The Halo YouTube channel released a 1-minute audio clip that seems to reveal that the enemies in Infinite are the Banished, the group of brutes that were the enemies in Halo Wars 2.
I love bees.
Good. That'll do.
Another ARG incoming, why not?
As the show's foremost Halo expert, Dan, what do you think about the Banished?
Yes.
Good. Ricardo Kirkabon, he said that very much enjoyed the gang discussion on buying a game studio.
Are we a gang? We are a gang.
Yeah. But we're like the gang in Rocky that stand by a burning bin while we sing doo-wop songs in the night in Philadelphia.
Hey, look, you know.
Doo-doo.
Whatever gives us the kicks, right?
Yeah, he said he liked that we were discussing buying a game studio as if we had the funds to do so. We do.
Look, we do have secret millionaires. Just a very small game studio. Yeah. I would bankroll them for up to 50 quid as long as I got 37.26% equity.
What's Phil Fish doing these days? We could probably fund him.
He probably.
Fez.
Phil, give us a call,
Fez,
mate.
Fez 2. I mean, he was making it already. He's probably got the assets and stuff done. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, he just dropped that whenever he felt like it. But, yes.
Kev said, if the Suicide Squad rumor pans out and ends up being a Suicide Squad-led adaptation of the Tower of Babylon run, I am all for it. Tower of Babylon, if you do not know, that is the idea of bad guys using Batman's intel. He has a contingency plan on all the other members of the Justice League in case anyone were to go rogue, much like if Superman goes rogue, use kryptonite on him. That kind of stuff. The idea of Tower of Babylon, I think, is Ra's al Ghul.
If Aquaman goes rogue, bring silica gel sachets.
That will, yes. Fishing line. Yeah. I think it was Ra's al Ghul gets Batman's intel and uses it against the Justice League. There was an animated version called Justice League Doom, where I think Mirror Man or Reverse Flash or someone gets all the it was a good animated show, but it was a long time since I watched that film. But I like the idea. Yeah, good idea. We could have Amanda Waller using the intel. Good. Spiky Chris, he said that his only complaint of The Last of Us 2 so far is that he had to turn the subtitles on because he could not hear the dialogue over the PlayStation 4 fan.
Oh, what a card that chap is.
Yeah.
What a card.
I did explain my mixer thing on Discord, but if you take the headphones off...
I basically took the audio, just piped it directly into my brain, and I was all good.
I will say the sound of two PlayStation fans going, because she's got a launch one, I've got a PS4 Pro, but it's first PS4 Pro model, so it's loud. When they're both going off at full volume of fan, I will say, it sounds...
Full fan.
It reminds me of when I used to work in IT and would have to go into the server room for an extended period of time, because that's what it sounds like, which then links back to Last of Us 2, because there are moments where you go to office buildings and stuff and you will go into a server room and everything's powered down and not working, and it's very eerie because I've never seen that in my life. Tyrus, he said that he's not sure if it's good enough for the show. I'm sure it is. What do you guys think of the petition to remake The Last of Us story? Lol. Dumb. It's someone else's idea, someone else's art. You don't ask them to... It's Mass Effect 3 all over again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a big fan of Mass Effect 3's ending, but it is what it is.
If you don't like... especially if it's part of a series as well. If you don't like the outcome, then don't buy the next one. You vote with your wallet. Simple as that. You don't set up a petition to go release a patch or remake the entire game. You've just spent 9 years making a video game. Make it again, but do it better.
You know how special I am, Edition.
Yeah.
Christ.
That's anyway, all our feedback.
Yes, we need to finish as well because it's 4 million degrees outside. My window and my door are shut in my recording little room, and I actually think I've sweated my entire bodily fluid out through my armpits. It's disgusting. So we're going to stop. We're going to stop now because we have to. Otherwise, I'm going to turn into a podcasting raisin, and I don't want that to happen. So thank you ever so much for listening to us.
What lovely visual images you're giving us this week.
I know, right? Exactly. Do you want to guess in which places I'm unpleasantly moist?
No, let's finish.
Really? Yeah. But, spoiler alert, all of them. Okay, just going to say. All right. So let's finish. Now that's got you thinking. So we're going to finish. Thank you ever so much for downloading us once again. Tim, I'm sure, will be back next week unless once again he levels up his DIY game by perhaps varnishing something and that getting in the way of talking to us about the video games. Maybe he will have even played Resident Evil 7 next week. Who knows? So if you want to tune in for the next thrilling installment of what Tim has or hasn't done, we'll be here next week. So thank you ever so much for listening. I think all that really remains for me to do is remind you that Tim hasn't been here, but this one has been Coleman.
Hi! Oh, bye!
And I have been damaged.
I usually do it
so
like that.
Thank you.
Threw me off.
You what? Mean, just to confuse
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you just completely thrown me off.
That's all right. I would do it the normal way if you want.
Nearly 400 episodes in, and then you go, oh, he has been. You're like, what?
It's the heat. It's the heat. It's getting
to
me.
Off the moment,
me.
Telling you what to do.
I'm moist. So thanks ever so much for listening. We'll be back next week. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard,
why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.